The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
September the 4th, Saturday late afternoon, Saturday night, observations of the rest of college football games that mattered. Michigan played a little bit earlier in the day, and for those of you that keep up, the rivalry of the Michigan-Ohio State game is something I'm going to talk about every single week. I've already talked about Ohio State, but I did not touch on Michigan. Michigan looked curious. And what does curious mean? It seems like that offensively that they have a little bit better plan. It seems like that I would say my guess is there's a little bit less meddling from the head coach. He's got a bunch of young guys on his staff now. He's kind of letting them go. And looks like to me that they're doing a little bit more of their thing rather than his thing. And I think that is a good thing. Defensively, they were much less gambling. Obviously, they made a change at the coordinator position, but it's curious that you just can't really get a good definition of whether or not Michigan is going to be a contender yet or not. Western Michigan moved the ball a little bit too easily against a defense that should dominate against a team like Western Michigan, but a lot of times somebody that knows what they're doing coaching can move the ball almost against anybody unless they play somebody like Alabama. And Michigan is definitely not an Alabama. But with that being said, I think Michigan is curious. After one game, I'm curious. I'm curious to know, are they going to continue to grow offensively without the normal meddling of the head football coach at Michigan, which is notorious for his meddling. So I thought that it was curious. I'm interested to see. And right now, if they played Ohio State tomorrow, I would make Ohio State a big favorite over them, but they don't play tomorrow. So it's going to be interesting to watch and see. Mississippi State comes from down in the fourth quarter, 34-14, comes back and wins the game 35-34. Mike Leach has done this many times in his career where he's been way down and came back from behind. Louisiana Tech, you know, it's a shame they couldn't close the game out. Would have been a big win for them. I remember having the same issue myself one time when I was at Louisiana Tech. We went to Mississippi State when Dan Mullen was the head coach, and we got beat in overtime. Same situation. We could not close the game out as well. So I've lost those games before as a coach where I've been way ahead. We were ahead of Houston one year that Houston went 13-1. We were ahead 34-7 in the fourth quarter and got beat 35-34. So I feel bad for Louisiana Tech and for their players, and a good win for Mike Leach. Although, you know, if we're counting good wins against Conference USA teams for a SEC West team, and it's not a special year for one of these Power Five teams, then it spells trouble for Mississippi State, as I talked about yesterday. I believe that if Mike would ever force himself to force the run some and to run the ball some, I think his defense is good enough to play in that league, and they played hard yesterday and played pretty well. But a quarterback, there's no way a quarterback can play 12, 13 game seasons and be on all the time. And that's just an impossible thing for any quarterback to do, regardless of where they are. So I'm not going to change anything with my ideals of Mississippi State. I think there'll be a beautiful disaster. They'll win 3, 4, 5, 6 games, something like that. There's a bunch of teams in there that they can beat. And after watching LSU, which I'll talk about here in a second, you know, they may compete with those guys again as well. Texas, I was, as I said yesterday, they were ahead when I cut off yesterday. But Texas, to beat Louisiana, we used to call Louisiana Lafayette, they have had an incredible run the last 2 years, and they're a damn good football program. They can play against anybody. I thought that was a big win for Texas, and especially the way that they won it. They played really good defense. They ran the ball well, and that's a good sign, and especially when you look at how Oklahoma struggled on defense as we set that matchup for later on in the season. But I thought that was a huge win for Sarkisian starting off his career there against a good football team. And so I thought that was a big win, and I didn't get to see any of that game. So I'll tell you more about it when I analyze the film here in the next day or two. USC struggled against San Jose State, but I'm not going to hold that against them. San Jose State's a good football team. They play really good defense, but USC, there's no way they should have struggled on offense as bad as they did with the athletes that they have. So that's a little bit alarming for them, but their defense played well and they were able to win the game in the fourth quarter because it was a close game all the way into the fourth quarter. And man, just what a disastrous week for the Pac-12. I mean, they just overall just a really bad week. I'll get into just a little bit more here in a few minutes. South Carolina won big against Eastern Illinois. You can't learn anything from that at all. Nothing. I haven't seen the game. I'll see it later, but there's nothing you can learn from that game. Oregon State loses at Purdue. We follow Oregon State because of the Oregon State-Oregon rivalry game. And Oregon State blew that game before the game ever started. Chance Nolan came in off the bench as a quarterback for Oregon State and gave them a chance, made a run late in the game to give them a chance to win the game. Why he wasn't the starting quarterback, you never know because I'm not there. I'm not coaching every day. I'm not on the field every day, so I'm sure there's a reason. But, you know, I probably have a little bit of personal feelings in that and the fact that I recruited Chance and coached Chance for a little bit. So I don't believe that either Purdue or Oregon State look like a contender in their leagues. Oregon State really struggled to run the football. Purdue's defense played well, and they played well the last couple of years. But Oregon State, if they played Oregon tomorrow, it would be ugly. And it'll be interesting to watch the growth of that and to see how much better they get, because they just didn't look very good until Chance came in, and Chance, like I said, gave them a great chance, gave them an opportunity to win the game. So hopefully Chance is the starter this coming week for Oregon State. Middle Tennessee played Monmouth, and I followed Middle Tennessee for the 100-yard war game against Western Kentucky. That's a great rivalry. Like I said, I've been a fan of Western Kentucky since I was a little boy, and coached at Middle Tennessee 5 years this last time and another year another time. So I understand that rivalry really well. And so I've already talked about Western yesterday, but talking about Middle Tennessee, they struggled offensively early in that game, and they didn't really have a great game offensively all the way through. But I want everybody to understand something. Monmouth is a damn good defense. They've played good defense the last couple of years, and they were in the playoffs last year in this shortened season. They barely lost to the Sam Houston State that won the national championship for the spring football deal from last year's weird season of COVID. And so I expected Monmouth to play good defense. Monmouth's offense is just simply not very good, and Middle Tennessee defense played well and caused problems, got a couple of turnovers in the game. And the only thing that was a little bit alarming is that when you go back and you look at the third down conversions and fourth down conversions, weren't very effective for Middle. But I'll say this, that was a good win for them. And people may look at it and go, well, who the hell is Monmouth? Well, people in football understand they've had a good program. They've done a good job the last few years. Playing in the playoffs like they did last year in the spring season, they went into that game with a bunch of starters coming back on both sides of the football, even though their best defensive player was out with an injury. But overall, I thought that that was a big win for Middle, and I thought their special teams, they had the punt return. Jalen Lane is a really good football player. And there's something I noticed on Middle's roster that I'm sure people have talked about. I haven't followed Middle in the offseason for all the stuff that they've done, but they have a transfer that is from Murfreesboro that came back, and I just saw his line in the stats, Michaelius Elder, and that is a huge transfer get for Middle. That kid is a really good player. He's super fast. And with DJ Chisholm, who's another super fast receiver, I think that Middle is going to have more playmakers. They've already got a good receiver core to begin with. The biggest thing that would alarm me in looking at the stats of that game and watching it just a little bit, I didn't watch a lot of it, but I saw a little bit of it, is that they couldn't run the football. And anytime you can't run the football, you got problems, especially going into Virginia Tech this week. But again, I thought that was a big win for those guys to start the season off with. And, you know, obviously anytime you score 50 points, however you score, it doesn't make any difference. The fact that you do, it's a really good team win for Middle Tennessee. The Auburn win over Akron, you can just throw it out the window. Akron was a terrible team the last time they played, and obviously they're still terrible. However, I will say this. I don't care if you play against air. When a quarterback can go out and be 23 of 25 or 24 of 26, whatever Nix's final numbers were at Auburn, that's damn good. And there's no doubt that that Harsin can coach. And so I don't care if they played against air. The fact that they had a good throwing game is a huge bonus. You know, I think Auburn's receivers will be coached as well as anybody's in the country with Cornelius Williams, who's just a phenomenal receiver coach and a great human being. So it's interesting to see. I'll watch their film, but you're not going to get a whole lot out of it right now. And obviously, we're going to talk about Auburn, Alabama every single week. Florida's win over FAU. The fact that Florida ran the ball incredibly well against a really good FAU defense is a big deal. The fact that Florida threw the ball really poorly against FAU is a little bit of a warning signal, because they should not be throwing the ball with the least amount of effectiveness that they had in that game against FAU. So that would alarm me a little bit. FAU, my gut instinct is that program is going to go down. Kiffin did a phenomenal job, and you know, I just don't believe that the follow-up hire of that was a great hire. So it'll be interesting to watch and see. But Florida, you know, you're still in the curious part right now of the Florida-Georgia matchup for our rivalry that we have for Florida. Clemson-Georgia game, you could have locked those two teams out on the field by themselves, and they would have had a hard time scoring a touchdown. And, you know, we can sit here and say, well, both defenses are phenomenal, and so what? Both of them have great offensive talent as well. And the fact that both of them struggled to throw the ball, both teams were horrendous trying to throw the football. Neither team could run the ball very well either. It was just an old school, if you'd thought about an old school SEC matchup, I would be more alarmed if I was at Georgia than I would be if I was at Clemson. Clemson, obviously, with a new quarterback and trying to get that fit in, and just didn't look very good. And Georgia didn't look very good throwing the ball either. So both teams have great talent, great football players. You know, they match up with Alabama as far as defense is concerned, but, you know, neither one of those teams would have a chance at Alabama if they played them tomorrow. The good thing is they don't play them tomorrow. Texas A&M's big win over Kent State. You know, nothing you can really get out of that. Kent State is a good MAC team. And, you know, a good MAC team versus a good SEC West team should be a 50-point difference. And, you know, it's whatever Texas A&M wanted to be. So there's not a whole lot to get out of that ball game. Texas A&M's quarterback, you know, ran around, scrambled a bunch, and threw some picks. And that's alarming. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not that A&M can get better with that QB as time goes by, because he shouldn't have struggled the way that he did. LSU and UCLA. As I talked about before, UCLA gave a complete mirage to LSU by playing Hawaii in four wide offense the entire game. And then they came out in this game and played like Chip Kelly's always done. Not necessarily with tempo, but with all different types of tight end formations. He was able to get lots of gap advantages. Their play action pass in this game was really good. LSU gave up close to 500 yards again. LSU, I think that there's an old saying, you know, when you have success, you tend to party. And when you have failure, you tend to ponder. And I think LSU has been partying ever since the national championship. And they got problems. They're not very good defensively. Again, they're better than they were just because of scheme. But UCLA, incredibly impressed. Again, I talked about Chip Kelly a few days ago. This guy knows what he's doing. He got his people there now that believe in him. Everybody, he is a damn good football coach. You want to learn how to watch somebody, watch the differences between Chip Kelly on a game day and Kirby Smart. Chip Kelly is mindful, constantly teaching, thinking, staying cool, calm, and collective so that he can organize and move the troops however he needs to do it. Kirby going crazy up and down, you know, the sideline, screaming and ranting and raving and all that stuff, as if he were a defensive coordinator. If you're a defensive coordinator, that's fine. As a head coach, it's a little bit hard to manage everything when you're doing that. So really impressed with UCLA, just as we were when they played Hawaii. LSU's quarterback, I thought, played courageously. But they're just not the football team that they were a couple of years ago. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. They've lost some coaches. They've had all types of personal things going on. They've had investigations going on. And, you know, obviously they had the hurricane, which caused them to have to get out of town for a bit of time. So there's all types of things. So they may get it together. But I would say that right now, you know, that they got problems. And I don't think those problems are going to be solved this season. And then finally, the last game of the night that I was able to observe and trying to keep up with the Cal-Stanford game was Nevada and Cal. And I didn't get to see a lot of that. I watched some of it, but I was actually watching a lot of my former quarterback at Middle Tennessee. I was watching Sacramento State, and they were on. I was able to get them on ESPN3 and watch the great Asher O'Hara play quite a bit, and I was able to go back and forth between Nevada and Cal. But Cal looks to me like just the normal Cal team that they've been the last couple of years. They're going to play great defense. The defense is going to keep them in the game. They're going to probably upset somebody that you don't think that they should beat, and they're going to lose to people that you don't think they should lose to, and they'll be somewhere around the 500 mark again. The good thing is that the biggest game for them every single season is the Stanford game. And as bad as Cal's offense looked going against Nevada, Cal's offense should not struggle against a Nevada defense. But as bad as they looked, hey, Stanford looked a lot worse. So I think the Cal-Stanford game right now, you could toss up a coin and see what happened at the end of it. But I'm not real impressed with Cal. Nevada's got a good team. They've got a good quarterback, but still – you know, when you're at Cal, you shouldn't struggle that much with Nevada. Nevada pulled off a big win, and they've had a couple of good seasons there. So we've got a couple of games left. We've got Notre Dame and Florida State today at 7:30, and we've got Louisville and Ole Miss on Monday. Man, I feel horrible for Lane Kiffin. You know, I bragged about him and the leadership of Lane Kiffin and how he got 100% of his players vaccinated, which is a remarkable thing in the state of Mississippi for a leader to be able to do that. And I just hate it for him that he got COVID, even though he's vaccinated. And we all know if we keep up with COVID, is that even with a vaccination, you can get it and it can cause some problems in your life. But you're not going to, more than likely, you're going to stay healthy enough to stay out of the hospital and you're not going to die from it. So good leadership again by Lane Kiffin. I thought the way that he handled it, his response was amazing. And you know, he's not a guy that I don't know him at all, but not somebody that I would have picked as a great leader beforehand. But man, he's done an incredible job since he went to Florida Atlantic and now at Ole Miss. So hats off. Hopefully he gets healthy and he's able to come back and have a great season with Ole Miss. So those are basically most of the games that I covered. I mentioned a while ago, man, the Pac-12 just that they struggled. University of Montana beats Washington, and some people picked Washington as a top 10 team or a top 5 team, a Pac-12 championship team. I didn't ever buy it because their offense stinks. But what a huge win for Montana. What a horrible loss for Washington. Washington State loses to Utah State. Utah State has not been a great team the last few years. They've been okay, but Washington State loses to them. They've got all the controversy out there because their head coach, you know, didn't want to take a vaccine. And then Arizona loses to BYU, which is not a horrible loss because BYU is a good program. Arizona's got a new coaching staff, but still, again, Pac-12 losing, and then Cal losing to Nevada. Just some struggles out there. So thank God for UCLA and the big win over LSU to give the Pac-12 some hope as the season moves on. But what a great Saturday. Hopefully you got some good tips from it. And remember, later this week, we are going to dive deep into a bunch of rivalries and the matchups and exactly how they are week to week to week to week. And we're going to have ways where you can come on and talk to me, and we can watch film together, and we can start to look at these matchups as the season goes on. So have a good rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to CoachTF.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.